Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is episode 80 of Nerd Nuptial. And if this is your first episode, we look at nerd life through a married lens. And today, what are we talking about?
Thor Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. That's kind of hard to say, Ragnarok.
It's true. You kind of have to enunciate it.
Yeah.
Ragnarok.
I think that's probably why they didn't... I think even though Ragnarok is hard to say, I think Thor 3 is even harder to say.
That's true. Thor 3.
Thor 3.
Yeah. Can be a tongue twister.
So we saw Thor, and it's no secret, like if you're a longtime listener, it's no secret that we're not on fire about Marvel movies.
Just in general.
Like, we have nothing against them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're fine. You know, like, they're usually pretty formulaic. You know what you're going to get. But we very rarely see it in the theater. I mean, we didn't go see Spider-Man in the theater. And
that's true.
We didn't see Guardians of the Galaxy in the theater. We didn't see Doctor Strange in the theater.
We've seen them all, though.
We have seen them, yeah. Video, yeah. But going in, it takes a lot for us to go see them in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And Thor 3 was... It looked intriguing. I mean, I really enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Mm-hmm.
And this basically looked like Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
It's true. So maybe that's why we decided we'd go see it.
I think that's probably why. Like, I was in the mood for a sci-fi comedy, and that's pretty much what we got.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we're going to review it today, kind of like say what we had our expectations were,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of give overall, and then give our spoiler territory.
That's right, yeah. We've been doing that more and more, trying to give a spoiler-free conversation at the beginning. And so okay, going into it, I mean, actually, let's talk about the Thor movies.
Okay.
So let's talk about Thor 1 and 2. Do you even remember Thor 2?
No.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I'm pretty sure you fell asleep during that one.
You always say that.
I think you did.
Mm-mm.
You fell asleep during Avengers 2.
I know that one, but I don't think I fell asleep during
okay.
Thor 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked Thor, the first one.
I liked it too.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. It was actually one of my favorites for a very long time before they really saturated the market with Marvel films.
That's true.
But actually, not that many people liked Thor. I think they liked Thor in the Avengers films.
Okay.
But not everybody liked the movies. Now, I really liked Thor 1. I thought it was great. I thought the chemistry was great with everybody. I like the story. I like it as a... you can't really call it an origin tale.
No. I think it's more like seeing where... I guess maybe seeing more of Asgard and everything like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So maybe that's more of what we liked was the Asgard aspect of it.
Could be. Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. But the second one, oh, that was just an abomination.
Yeah, that one, it's not very memorable, and the parts that you do remember, they're not very good.
Like, I couldn't even tell you the plot of the film.
Yeah, I don't think I could either.
Like, I've seen it once, and I honestly can't tell you the plot of the film. There was some sort of evil elf, and he was trying to destroy London. That's all I know.
Well, and longtime listeners will know that we're not Marvel fans, but we do recognize that they do well with their films. Does that make sense? Like, we like what they do with their franchise, and we wish that DC had it together like Marvel.
Well,
in a way.
it's kind of a catch-22 because I respect Marvel,
yeah,
for what they do, because they clearly found their audience.
Yeah.
They clearly found their formula.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they're doing. They know how to market. They hooked up with Disney. It's pretty run. Not, I don't want to say run of the mill films, but they hit a baseline. Like, you know,
yeah.
You know, you're going to get a certain level of experience with Marvel, and I think that's a benefit, but it's also a detriment to it because you're not going to get any real art. You're not going to get any risks,
yeah.
True drama or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
With DC, they're failing a lot. They're failing pretty hard, but I respect them because they're swinging for the fences. And when you swing hard enough, you'll get something like Wonder Woman.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah.
But I don't see a Wonder Woman coming out of Marvel anytime soon.
No, That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a Logan.
That's true.
You would never get a Logan out of the MCU. Never.
Yeah. I think it's too... Well, I don't think that the Marvel audience wants that.
Yeah.
To be honest. Like, I feel like it, you know, when you go to a Marvel film, you have an expectation that you'll feel happy and satisfied at the end. Like, mm-hmm. whereas think about going to see Logan. Like, DC fans probably... Maybe you'd like to see sadness at the end. I don't know.
And before you nerds jump down our throat, we know that Logan is technically a Marvel film.
Oh, yeah.
It's not an MCU film. I know.
That's very true.
Everybody loves saying that crap to me. Oh, like, God. Whenever you say Marvel and then X-Men, they say, like, well, Tristan, technically, it is a Marvel film. It's just not. Yeah, no, shut up. I can hear you guys grating against me as I'm recording this. So, yeah, I don't even know where we're going with this, but it's just with all that in mind, Thor Ragnarok looked like it was going to be taking a risk.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was something out of the norm from what we saw.
Well, even adding Cate Blanchett into it, I was like, okay, I'm on board. Like,
yes, that's correct. I was on board as well.
Well, you were on board because you have a crush on her, so...
Well,
I mean, you're like, sure, because I actually brought it up. I was like, do you want to go see that? And you're like, yeah, I can see some Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett and horns? What? Yeah, it's. I think that's the thing is that, like, even though we joked about how it looked like it was Guardians of the Galaxy 3,
mm-hmm.
it did because of the director, Taika sure. Waititi. He directed... What We Do in the Shadows? I think that's what it's called, yeah. What We Do in the Shadows, which you and I really enjoyed.
Yeah, we did.
We loved that. But sadly, that's the only thing that we've seen of his. And I know Lee Hutchison, host of Filibuster, is just screaming at us right now because we haven't seen Hunt for Wilder People.
Because
he told me like 20 times to watch it, and we still haven't done it yet.
Yeah, we need to do that.
But I liked that we got this ridiculous director...
Mm-hmm.
And I say that as a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
To do an MCU movie. And it's and so that was one big draw. Cate Blanchett, of course, was another one. And just the feeling of the movie was very... The way they marketed the movie was as kind of like an 80s throwback. The colors, the logo, the music.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And right now, retro 80s throwback is very popular.
It was smart because it got us in the seats.
It got us in the seats. And I was like, okay, hopefully with... Actually, you know what? What I'm going to say is just like a little bit... Like right when I first started watching it, like when the reel started playing, I was happy because I was like, oh, this is a full-blown comedy. Cool.
Yeah.
I like that this is a full-blown
Definitely
comedy.
Definitely embrace that.
Because there's this middle ground that you get with Marvel films.
That's true.
Where it's an action film... with a touch of drama and then a quip every now and again. But there's so many quips that sometimes it gives you an eye roll and you're like, oh my God, okay, what's going on? But it's not done in the vein of comedy. It's like a throw-in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. Like, yeah. Who can be the smartest character?
Who can be the wittiest?
Yeah, wittiest, yeah, yeah.
But with this film, this is a sci-fi comedy.
Yeah, which is interesting that they chose to go that direction just because... of Guardians of the Galaxy and coming out so recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was your expectations going in?
Going into it, like, because since we saw it on the preview showing, like, Thursday night, like, mm-hmm. which technically wasn't even opening day.
True.
All that we had was the, like, the big critics, like Variety and, you know, Hollywood Reporter and, you know, and everything like that. And everybody loved it. It got a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes before opening day.
Okay.
Right now it's at a 93.
Okay.
But so all the major critics were treating it like it was Toy Story 3. And I was just like, wow, this is insane. This is getting some really good reviews for a Marvel film. I mean, for any kind of superhero film.
Mm-hmm.
This is getting amazing reviews. And I was just like, okay, like, calm down. Like, I'm going to try to divorce myself of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you even asked me as we were driving into the theater, like, what are you expecting? And all I said was, all I want is a sci-fi comedy. That's it. I don't need The Godfather. I don't need Logan. I don't even need Guardians of the Galaxy. I just want a sci-fi comedy. That's all I want.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think that I said I was just expecting like muscles and Kate Blanchett, right? I said something like that.
No, you said CGI muscles.
Oh, that's right. CGI muscles and Kate Blanchett. That's all I was really expecting. But I will say that, like, you saying, oh, it's got like a 98% going into the theater, I think kind of tainted my view a little bit. Did because it? Whenever I hear like what other people are thinking, sometimes I feel like I'm like, well, should I like this more or should I not like this? You know, mm-hmm. It depends on the movie.
Yeah.
So I think that it does influence for some reason how you feel when you do know how critics view it.
Oh, very much.
Especially
so.
When you're, you know, a critic yourself, or like at least that's what we pretend to do on the show.
We're not pretending. I'm just kidding. We're actually critiquing. A lot of people are listening right now. Tuning in specifically. But yeah, right when I started it, like right when it was rolling and we hear the voiceover, I was, every single time I start a movie, every single time, especially in the theater, I have a battle with my brain to shut up.
Why?
I don't know. I tell my brain to shut up and just watch. Mm. Because in the first 5 minutes, I'm always super analytical of everything. The shot selection, the editing, the color, the acting, the sound, the CGI, everything. I am just hyper focused.
Okay.
And I'm like, is this 99%? Is this shot 99%? Is this 99%? Does this deserve a 99%? And it's just, it's so annoying to be inside my head. And usually after those first 5 minutes, I literally tell myself, okay, Tristan, shut up and just watch the movie.
Okay.
And then I'm able to enjoy it.
All right. See, I don't think I really get analytical until like probably halfway through. And I always have a moment halfway through the film where I am asking myself, am I enjoying this? Mm-hmm. And it usually happens like during act breaks where I'm like, when we start like a new act and I'm like, am I enjoying this? Am I not? You know, does this deserve the score that I've heard, if mm-hmm. I've heard it? Yeah. But I don't usually start off that way.
Right. Okay. I get that. I wish I was more like you. I really do. That would make it easier. So, before we get into spoiler territory, what did you think? What were your impressions of the film?
Walking out, I think it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. But the further away I get, the more I care a little less. Does that make sense? Like, it's not like I'm eager to go back.
I think there's certain films where, and what was one that we saw? I think, Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we enjoyed ourselves when we watched Blade Runner 2049, but the more we talked about it,
yes.
And the more that the days and the weeks went on and we kept bringing it up, we're like, man, I want to see that again.
Right.
And it's just like, well, I guess I like that more than I thought.
Right.
With this one, even though it's only been a day.
Right.
Because we're recording this on Friday. Oh, even though it's only been a day, like, because when I left, as I was watching it, I laughed a lot.
Yeah.
I laughed hard.
It was fun.
I laughed harder than I have a lot in the past,
mm-hmm.
recent past. And as I was leaving the theater, I was just like, okay, that was fun. That was a good time. A romp, as they like to say for some reason in newspapers. but yeah, today, this morning, and talking it out, I was just kind of like, did I like it that much? I started thinking about it more and more, and I was like, oh, it kind of had this structural problem. It had this weirdness about it. And it's just the more I think about it, the more I kind of take it down a peg.
You know, I think also there is something to the audience that we saw it with, because the audience we saw it with was very invested.
Very nerdy.
Very nerdy.
And some kids.
Yes.
Some too young kids.
Oh, yeah. Like too young.
I know it's a Marvel film, yeah, but it was rated PG-13 for a reason. There was some...
Just, I don't know. I mean...
People getting stabbed and like one dude was dissolved and like it was kind of graphic. They tried to play it up for laughs, but whatever.
I think out of that one isn't that bad compared to other films I've seen little kids in, but...
like Dragon Tattoo. No.
Gosh. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was kind of fun seeing it with nerdy people. Like, mm-hmm. you could tell that everyone was on board. And everyone had a connection to the characters.
Some people were wearing the Thor helmet.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're also everyone. No one has to lean over and say, "Who's Loki?" You know. Because a few years ago, I feel like that happened a lot, where it was like, "Who's that? Who's that?" You know, mm-hmm. you hear people, or maybe it's just the showings we went like with people who had we no went on idea. Sunday mornings. Maybe it was the crowd, but I feel like you know now it was like okay, everyone at least that maybe the MCU has been around long enough that everyone knows these characters, loves these characters. Knows what to expect, and they're just like 100% invested and just excited to be there. Mm-hmm. And there was something to that, you know, it's contagious, which is a beautiful thing. And actually, like, we're gonna go see Justice League on a Thursday night as well, and in 2 weeks, and I'm excited to see it on that Thursday night show because I really do think at least the viewing experience is better.
I have kind of been converted.
Yeah.
To see things opening night, like the first showing, yes. 7 o'clock Thursday.
Yeah.
That's slowly becoming my favorite time because I had this rationale in my head where I was like, okay, well, if we go early on Sunday, then maybe no one will be there and then nobody will talk and then I won't get anybody annoying. But you can never guess.
No.
You can never guess. But with Thursday night,
yeah.
It's usually the hardcore people.
Well, and that's the thing is, I don't think that it took us enough Thursday night viewings to get to this point where I'm like, you know, Sunday mornings, some of those people, they don't care.
You're right.
They're just there to see a show. Okay. And like, this is the latest thing out. Whereas we're like, shut up, you know, to whoever's around. Whereas Thursday night people, they want to see this film. Mm-hmm. So you better believe they're not going to talk. And if they do talk, someone else is going to shut someone up and not you.
You should be proud of me because there were some people using their phones.
Oh, I know. Some stupid teenagers
using their phones blatantly.
Oh, yeah.
Blatantly.
In like the third row down.
Where
like,
everyone in the theater.
Everyone.
I didn't get up.
No.
And yell at them.
I could feel you trying. I could feel your body, though. I could feel it next to me being like, should I get up? Should I not?
Instead, I hunkered down in my seat, put my coat in my lap because we were in an elevated seat so that I couldn't see them.
Well, they put it away right away after, well, I guess once the movie started.
No, some people had it during the movie.
Oh, did they did?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't notice.
I wish I was as oblivious as you were or are in films. I don't know how you don't see this. I usually do.
I'm just like, once I'm into the film, I don't pay attention to other people.
I don't want to pay attention to other people.
It's your curse. All right, let's get into... Oh, you haven't said what you thought.
Yeah, really? I liked it. It was entertaining. It made me laugh. Like I said, I laughed hard. I laughed really hard. There was a lot of fun moments in it.
Oh, yeah.
It was really cool and really fun, and it was... I will watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, the characterization of Thor is very different from Avengers and his previous movies. Like, Thor has always been kind of, like, he'll tell a joke, he'll be a little silly here and there, but he was a straight up clown in Thor 3, in my opinion. And structurally, I felt like it was very off balance. It felt like two movies smashed together. Where instead of having separate storylines running parallel, it felt like two movies running parallel.
Okay. Like X-Men First Class style? Or
no, X-Men First Class felt like the movie was directed by two different people.
Okay. But you felt like same person, just two different films.
Yeah, it felt like... Yeah, because... I guess let's just go ahead and get into spoiler territory.
Sure, spoiler.
So, like, I think
watch the film first.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth going and seeing on the big screen. It's fun. It's really entertaining, but it didn't blow my hair back. Like I'm not sweating over it like everybody else is online.
Didn't think it deserved necessarily the 98%.
No, I don't think like because now it's down to a 93, and I'd say it's even lower than that. Like I'd give it something like 82. somewhere around in there.
I probably agree with you.
Which is a great score.
Yeah.
It's a great score.
It was fun,
but it's not a 99. It's not a 93.
No.
But okay, so spoiler territory.
Yes.
You've been warned. We're at the 20-minute mark. Watch the movie. Now listen to the rest of it. So what I'm saying about the structure is, like, when he goes on to, I can't even remember what the planet is called.
The junk planet.
The junk planet, the trash planet with the Grandmaster and everything like that. The moment that he fell out of the, oh, what is that called? The
tube, the transportation.
The rainbow thing.
The bridge.
Yes, but not the bridge. It's the crap. Ah, I'm a bad nerd. Rainbow Bright. No, that's not right. Ice frost, birth frost, birth frost. I don't know, whatever. Frostbite? That's not right.
No, keep going. This is entertaining.
Permafrost? It's going to come to me.
All right. When he goes up Rainbow Bright.
When he goes up Rainbow Right.
Bright.
I almost said Ramen Right. We need to move on. Okay, so when he's battling Hela and they're trying to get to Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
And Loki falls out,
mm-hmm.
and then Thor falls out. When Thor falls out and he slides down into the planet,
mm-hmm.
the certain time of the movie that he does it, I'm like, oh, crap. We're going to be here for a while.
Because of how early it happened.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that right when he fell out of Rainbow Bright. Something triggered in my brain, like the analytical story structure, storyteller mm-hmm. brain. I was like, oh man, we're going to be here for a while. And Hela's going to be at Asgard for a while.
Mm-hmm.
These two aren't going to meet up until the very end of the film. And what happened?
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. Can we go back to talking about Hela's entrance? Like how yes. awesome she is.
Please go ahead. Talk about Hela.
Hela makes me want to cosplay. She's awesome.
And when you said that last night, I said, whatever you need. Here's my credit card.
I know what to say to get your credit card.
it's still true today. It's still true right now. I'll stop this podcast and you can go order it. We'll hire someone to make it. I don't even care.
No, she was so cool. And
she was a cool villain.
Very cool villain. Like her attitude, but also her costume was amazing. The way she put on her helmet.
Oh, I'm not trying to sound trite, but that was one of the best things about the movie was her look and how she moved.
Because it looked like powers. She was putting her hair back and then it went back into her
helmet. Yeah, like she moved her hands over her hair, but then all of a sudden her helmet appeared. It was sexy and cool and feminine and badass.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. So cool. yeah, so I was geeking out pretty hard when I saw all that. I had seen it in promos, but I feel like, you know, seeing her in action, I was like, yeah, I'm into this character.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way you did, where, like, we met up and then we immediately are separated, where Hela's on her own and Thor and Loki are in a different. And I thought it was interesting that she was the firstborn.
Yeah, I love that.
That was pretty cool.
I love that they were related. Normally, yes. I find that kind of stuff a stretch. Where I'm just like,
predictable,
whatever, okay, yeah. This is weird, a force connection. But this one, I was just like, yeah, especially when you're loosely dealing with mythology.
Right.
You know, I'm just kind of like, okay, that's cool.
Well, and I really enjoyed her knowing, you know, like knowing the cover up.
The true backstory of Odin. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. And like taking down that mural, you know, on the top.
Why would you just cover that up? Like literally, like why wouldn't you paint over it? Like it's a false wall?
Maybe it's magical.
That was weird.
And I also liked her going through like Odin's treasures and like fake. And you know, I thought that was funny.
I think they did that on purpose. I need to rewatch the first Thor. I could be completely and utterly wrong. But seriously, audience, forgive me, listeners, forgive me if I'm wrong here. But I thought I remember that there was some controversy because the Infinity Gauntlet was in the first Thor in his room, in his treasure room,
mm-hmm.
which that shouldn't be there with how they developed the MCU.
Okay.
Like Odin should not have the Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay.
And so for her to go through and knock it out and say, fake, most of these are fake, that's kind of retconning and saying, like, don't worry, everything's still in continuity. Like, what you saw in Thor 1 wasn't actually the Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, if that's true, that's pretty cool.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
And but even I could her, be like, wrong.
Uh-oh. Well, even her, like, knowing the different, the tunnel where, like, the burial ground, the crypt of her, you know, fallen army and, like, the wolf. Like, that was awesome.
And her dog's down
there. Yeah, yeah. Wolf or dog or whatever it was. Yeah, that was so cool. I just thought it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, she has a zombie army behind her.
And you, I know this sounds weird, but black and green, I love black and green mixed together. And that was, like, whenever she used her magic and the soldiers came up and the wolf came up, it was all mixed with green and green eyes and green vapor.
Yeah, it was awesome. Very cool.
Very cool. So, yeah, Cate Blanchett definitely... a highlight.
Yeah.
Like her characterization. And also they gave her some humorous lines too.
Oh yeah.
Like when she announced what she was, like, I am Odin's firstborn, goddess of death, you know, like going on and on.
Right.
And then like a minute goes by and one guy's like, whoever you are, wherever you came from, you need to go back. He's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I just told you who I was. Funny.
Yeah. Okay. People might hate me, but I am so tired of Loki.
I am tired of Loki too. I mean, I like Loki and Tom Hiddleston more than you do. But do we need him in every... We got him in Avengers. We got him in Thor 1, Thor 2, Thor 3, and...
I'm pretty sure he was like at the end of some credits.
Yeah. Did we see him pop up in Avengers 2? I don't think so. But yeah, it's just... There's so many other cool... Like, Hela is a great example of how there are so many other cool bad guys in the Thor universe, the Thor canon.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need Loki and everything.
Well, and like, I just feel like it's now become, if we have Thor, we have to have Loki.
It has become that way. And also the fans, especially female fans,
that's true,
are obsessed with Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Obsessed with Loki. And so because of that, there would be a riot if he wasn't in a Thor film. So I think we're stuck with him.
Oh my gosh. I don't see the attraction, but that's just me.
Is it a literal attraction, or what do you not like about the character?
Well, I feel he's kind of annoying. And the fact that he's like... always there, like, I'm tired of us like always coming back to that well, you know, where Loki's up to something again. I'm just kind of over it, and I'm not a huge Tom Hiddleston fan. Yeah. I'm just not.
Well, even Thor in the movie said, he's like round and round we go, like, I trust you betray me, and then you trust me and I betray, you know, it's just like we just do this whole song and dance over and over again, and he says he's tired of it. I was like, yeah,
so
I'm tired of it too, Thor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what did you think of basically the character of Thor and his journey in this movie?
Well, let's go to the fact that you kind of called him more of a clown in this one.
I kind of did. Not necessarily saying that's a bad thing. I thought his character was very lovable, very funny, very entertaining, but it was also very different from what we've seen before.
It was very different. Like, I always felt like we had moments of that with him.
Yes.
But... I feel like maybe we're trying to go more of Star-Lord territory than Thor. You know, I mean, not that I didn't laugh when he was being the clown. I thought it was hilarious, but it felt very similar to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Chris Hemsworth, he's a great comedic actor.
He is.
And it's really funny because I never would have guessed that he would have been. I mean, he was charming in Thor, but he was inadvertently funny.
Right, right.
And he got a little bit more, he let it get a little bit funnier in Thor 2 because he got more relaxed because we saw more of him in Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, when he's around Stark and, you know, everybody else, he's able to be a little bit more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so funny because if you see the character of Thor in Thor 1 and then the character of Thor in Ragnarok, it's two completely different people.
Yeah. I will say, like...
But that's also growth. It's character development.
But I do have to say that, okay, like, let's compare MCU then for a moment in characterization. Like, whenever I see a Captain America movie, he's Captain America in all of the movies. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this one, I felt like Thor was very different. I mean, not that you can't grow as a character.
Right, yeah.
And I'm not saying that I didn't enjoy when he was, but I feel like, you know, I feel like when we do watch a Captain America movie, I know what I'm going to get. Whereas this one, I was just like, are we Star-Lord a little bit here? Are we getting, we're kind of into Star-Lord territory, especially the feel of the film too, mm-hmm. because of it taking place a lot in space, you know, on a different planet and everything like that. It felt a lot like that.
Yeah, I think I think that's spot on. I think like saying he's a little bit more of a Star-Lord is very spot on. And it's I think using Captain America as an example is pretty great, because when you see First Avenger, Captain America, First Avenger, he's Captain America. Mm-hmm. He's naive. Mm-hmm. He's a do-gooder. He believes in the system, mm-hmm. but he's still Captain America. You get to Avengers and he starts to become more and more of a leader. Mm-hmm. But then you get to Captain America Winter Soldier. He gets a little bit more jaded. He gets a little bit angrier, but he's still Captain America.
Right, he's still that character.
Yeah.
And like I said, like it's okay for the character to grow and develop, but to change that much?
It wasn't so much. It was with Captain America, you saw growth and belief. Mm-hmm. And with Thor, you see a change in behavior.
Well, I felt like at the beginning, Thor was much more stoic than he is now.
Very much so.
Okay. I was, because, I mean, it's been a little bit of time since that's happened. But I feel like whenever I think of Thor, I think of him being more stoic than funny.
I saw Thor in the theater with my dad when you were having
my bridal shower?
Yeah.
Okay, so a while ago.
It was a while ago. So that's how long it's been.
Yeah, okay.
So 6 years?
Almost seven.
7 years? Yeah. 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People can change.
Okay.
Gods can change.
That's right.
So there was a lot of great comedic moments, as we repeatedly say. What was one of your favorite comedic moments? Can you think of one?
Well, I don't want to steal yours because I know we talked about it.
Oh, I can come up with several, yeah.
Well, probably when he was in the arena with Hulk and he was trying to convince Hulk to remember him and like put him to sleep. That was pretty funny.
When he said like, his son's going down. Like Black Widow was doing.
Yeah, exactly. That was pretty funny. And just like the facial expressions he had in there. But he was the clown in that moment, but it was hilarious. It was so funny.
That shot, that one shot of a close-up of his face after he was stroking his hand and saying, the sun's setting, and then he has that stupid, goofy grin on his face right before he gets hit by the Hulk. I was laughing so hard.
It was really funny.
Another time that I was kind of shocked into laughter is when Bruce Banner jumped out of the ship and said, like, don't worry, I got this.
All epically.
And you see his human body just collapse like a sack of potatoes.
And crumble.
And would be dead.
Right. Seriously. That was very funny. Yeah. That was very funny.
That was a very common theme throughout the movie, was subverting your heroic expectation.
That's true.
And I appreciate that, because every time they did it, I didn't see it coming, which was so weird because they did it like 10 times.
Yeah.
They did it 10 times in the movie where like somebody says something epic and then it's going to bust out the window. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden what they throw out the window hits them in the face.
Yeah.
They did that over and over again, but every single time I was just like, ah, that's funny.
Yeah. No, even like they set the tone immediately when they had him, you know, basically like fighting all of like the fiery like demons
at the beginning,
and then he like tried to ascend into Asgard, and he kept trying to, and there was, you know, they were busy upstairs like, you know, showing off to some girls. Like, that was hilarious.
I think probably the moment that will stick with me the most, and I think was a fantastic delivery and great comedic timing, was when the Hulk was in a hot tub and Thor's just like, Hulk in a hot tub. But then he gets up and he's naked and he says, he's like, and like you see Thor and he closes his eyes. He goes, That's in my brain now.
Yeah, that was funny. That was very funny.
So perfect.
Yeah. Okay, so what did you think of us being on the junk planet?
I liked being on the junk planet.
Okay.
But as soon as the fight was over with Hulk, mm-hmm. that's when they should have left.
Yeah, we were there a little long. And even like getting out of there was a little like, okay, let's pick up the pace here a little bit.
It's just I wanted more of the fight on Asgard. I wanted more of the mm-hmm. revolution. I wanted more of the resistance. Mm-hmm. I wanted Thor to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I wanted him to help out Heimdall.
Yeah.
Heimdall? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Idris Elba.
Right. No, and his character's so cool.
Why don't we spend more time with him? My gosh. He's such a cool character.
He's so cool and so good. And like when you saw him like steal the sword and then like help everyone into this like secret area, I was like, that's so cool.
That's the movie I want to see.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, that's so awesome. I like it.
Like, especially if you're going to destroy Asgard, mm-hmm. let's spend some more time at Asgard.
True. Care a little bit more about Asgard.
I think that was my big thing.
Yeah, I get that.
Is that like if you're going to destroy it, we're never going to see it again, then let's spend some time with it. But I did like that they did that. I like that they destroyed Asgard because...
And we can't come back.
You can't come back from it. And I mm-hmm. I love that ideal of it's not a place, it's a people. Mm-hmm. And I kind of do want to see them colonize on Earth. I mean...
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's cool, right?
It is really cool.
Because Odin even kind of...
He did. He was like, that. Remember this place
yeah.
in Norway.
In Norway, yeah.
So.
Oh, okay. So in that scene, they were clearly...
With Odin. Okay.
They were clearly not there.
That was
green screen. Mm-hmm. It was kind of bad green screen. But in the trailer... Okay, so in that scene, that's where Hela comes out. Like, that's where Odin, you know, quote unquote, dies. And Hela comes out and destroys Mjolnir. Mm-hmm. In the trailer... They are in a different location when she destroys Mjolnir.
Oh, I
didn't
remember that.
But it's the same angle. It's the same action. She looks exactly the same.
Interesting.
And so they green screened in a different location from what they showed you in the trailer. I'll show you.
Okay.
We'll watch it.
All right.
It's very... I kind of want to know what happened. What did they change? Why did they transport us to Norway when we weren't there before?
Hmm.
It really makes me wonder what kind of movie that was... Before they released it, like when they were still editing,
have to watch that. Yeah. Check it out.
It was very intriguing, but yeah, because I mean, obviously they're the Norse gods for a reason,
mm-hmm.
and to colonize Asgard, I would love to know the political ramifications of that.
Sure.
You know, how would they handle that? Would they be their own country? Would they have their own government? Would they assimilate? Would they not? Do all of Asgardians have powers, or is it just, you know, like Odin and?
You know, the woman who's a Valkyrie, I can't remember her name. I just can't remember her being a Valkyrie.
I think they just called her Valkyrie.
Okay.
But she was a Valkyrie, though.
Yeah. And I mean, she was able, like, to basically scale the ships pretty awesomely. Like, from ship to ship, she was able to jump really far.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, is that because she's an Asgardian or is that because she's a Valkyrie?
I don't know either.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would need to talk to somebody who knows more about the comics than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Valkyrie is played by Tessa Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that was Tessa Thompson because what I know her from is Creed, where she played the girlfriend who was losing her hearing.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And as some administrator in Westworld.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought these were three different people.
I liked her as the girlfriend in Creed.
Great job.
I really did not like her in Westworld.
She was atrocious in Westworld.
She was not. No, I didn't. Like, we don't like that part of Westworld.
It's not even like I don't like her character.
No, it's her acting.
It was her acting. Like,
yeah.
As you're watching her, you're like, how did you get this job? You're a horrible actress. Everything you're saying, I'm not believing.
And then you told me last night that, she's the Valkyrie. And I'm actually really glad that I didn't know that going in.
Me too.
Because I probably would have judged her more. Whereas I thought she was fine. I liked her fine.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't great.
No.
She wasn't like a standout character.
And not super, super lovable. Like, you know, certain characters are like, aw. But... I thought she was fine.
She was fine. She was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did her job and she did it well. But when she was in Creed, she did a great job.
Oh my gosh, I loved her in Creed.
She was a great dramatic actor.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's why I did not recognize her. Because when I watched Westworld, I was like, who are you? How did you get this job? Whose uncle, you know, like produced this? You know, it's just, it's insane.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel better that I know that she's a good actress, that she can be a good actress. But it also pisses me off because I'm like, why didn't you bring that to the table for Westworld? Hopefully she'll amp up her game in season two. Oh, but it's Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum was cast to play Jeff Goldblum.
Well, he's always Jeff Goldblum.
He's become Christopher Walken.
Yeah, he has.
And that's fine.
That is fine.
You know what? That's 100% fine. Absolutely.
No, he was funny. I think we saw maybe a little too much of him.
Really? I don't think we saw
enough. No, really?
I wanted more. I wanted more Jeff Goldblum.
You wanted more?
I did. Like, if we're going to spend that much time on the planet, then give me more Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
But if we spent less time on the planet, I'd be fine.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe what I'm feeling right now is that I kind of wish we had gotten off that planet a little faster. So, yes, use that if you have it.
Mm-hmm.
So use it to the fullest potential if you're going to have it.
What did you think about Hulk? Like how much we saw of Hulk for, you know, for Banner not existing for 2 years?
Oh my gosh, like I felt bad for him.
That's insane.
Yeah, like I think we kind of glossed over the fact that he was the Hulk for 2 years.
He lost 2 years of his life.
Exactly.
That's a big deal.
He was like, did we get him? You know?
Yeah.
Like, gosh.
And he's like, how's Nat? Like, how's Natalie? Not Natalie.
Natalie Portman. Natalie. How's Natalie Portman?
Wrong Natalie. No. Natalia, you know, a Black Widow.
Right.
Yeah, how's Natalie? He's like, it's mutual dumping. But yeah, that's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, the fact that he was like praised and had like parades and stuff, that kind of made it better.
Yeah.
As the Hulk, but at the same time, like, Banner doesn't like that part of himself. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I thought like kind of glossed over how traumatic that actually would be.
I also wanted more Banner. I wanted less Hulk,
yes,
more Banner.
Yes, me too. I thought we got a lot of Hulk.
That,
like,
weird.
A little too much Hulk, especially like when we, like, don't get me wrong, like the hot tub part was funny, but then we were like still with him, you know, in his room and
he's
like
got
hanging
six
out.
Words that he,
yeah,
knows.
I'm just like,
time to move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunsetting.
That's right. Sunsetting. Come back.
All right. So what did you, like, we established what we thought of the characters. The characters were good.
Mm-hmm.
Very entertaining. Very funny. You spent way too much time on the junk planet.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like two movies running parallel.
Yeah.
The ending. What did you think about the ending and the resolution? I already said that I really liked that they destroyed Asgard because I didn't see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that Ragnarok was a prophecy and they're like, there's nothing we can do to stop it. The only way that we can save our Asgard is by destroying it.
Yes.
I am a sucker for that kind of irony.
No, I liked that, and I liked the fact that we brought back, you know, we had to fight evil with evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then just realize, okay, we move on and we'll build again. And I liked that. I really did. I just really wish that we had seen more of Asgard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much, I mean, I think we gave our positions well here. Mm-hmm. I think it was fun, entertaining. It was a great CGI fighting mess.
You know, I think that whenever I go into a standalone Thor movie, I always expect to see Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
And we have in the past, like, seen, I mean, I know that we spent time on Earth as well with Thor,
mm-hmm.
but I felt like we just kind of were a little bit robbed of, maybe we kind of lost some of that connection to the Asgardians because we didn't spend as much time there.
I think we would have had more emotional weight at the end seeing Asgard explode,
mm-hmm.
if we spent more time there in the movie.
Yes. Now, but are we trying to make it into a DC film versus a Marvel? Because, no, I'm being honest here, because the thing is that, do we want to feel bad at the end?
Oh, I want to feel something.
Yeah, but that's not a Marvel movie. Marvel movies just feel happy at the end.
What about Civil War?
It's okay, guys. We'll move on.
What about Civil War?
Well, I mean, I still felt like, okay, well, you know, we're the good guys. It's not like Logan when you have like,
I'm not saying give me Logan. I'm saying like I think even with a Marvel film, I think it would have behooved it to have a little bit more emotional weight for the destruction.
Well,
because
I agree.
In this version, in what it is, it felt very matter of fact. It was, oh, well, we'll get this bad guy, he'll destroy Hela, and then Asgard will be destroyed, but it's okay because it's a people, not a place. Let's do it. There was no struggle, there was no should we not.
Mm-hmm.
It was all just very quippy and in the moment, just like, yeah, let's do this, okay, boom, my home is destroyed, my father's palace is gone.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I felt more emotional weight when the rock monster said that he just was carrying around the corpse of his friend.
What, Meek or something like that? Yeah. It's like, oh, Meek's dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, look, he's alive.
I liked that character.
That was the director.
I know. I liked that character. Yeah. A lot. Like, yeah.
Cog? Something like
yeah,
that.
Something
I can't remember.
Like that.
Korg.
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 Korg. Yeah. I liked Korg.
You could tell right when he popped on the scene and he had that accent.
Okay.
and he was just like, he's like, oh, Doug died. He's yeah. over there. You know, like right off the bat, I was like, oh, he's going to be awesome. Like
yeah.
people are going to love him. They
exactly.
knew what he was doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So if you had to grade it, what would you give it? If you had to give it a percentage, the girl Rotten Tomato score.
78? Yeah.
Okay, that's not too far off. I said like 82.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, 78.
Okay.
I'll say that because I enjoyed other Marvel films more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, with a Rotten Tomato score, it's so hard because certain films, you know, it's all Rotten Tomato score, but films are so different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I feel like dramas, comedies, whatever, you know, this was a sci-fi comedy basically. It's hard to judge them all based on each other. But for me, my enjoyment level, if I was to go back, and like I said, I feel like I'm liking it a little less as I go away from it. Like mm-hmm. coming out of theater, I was like, oh, that was fun.
Actually, talking to you just now, I feel like upped my enjoyment a little bit
oh,
more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, because when I was thinking about it to my own devices, mm-hmm. I was like, eh, I don't know if I like it. But now talking to you, talking about the good moments, I was just like, oh, okay, all right. Maybe it's better than I thought.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, it's funny that you bring that up because I was talking with good friend of mine and a host on the network, Matt Rushing. He hosts Arrested Development.
You're all over the place.
So he does not host Arrested Development. He hosts
wow.
Aggressive Negotiations.
Is he the narrator?
And he was talking to me because at the time, like, when we were talking, we both hadn't seen it,
mm-hmm.
and the Rotten Tomato score came out,
mm-hmm.
and it said 99%.
That's
he
crazy.
Asked me, he said, he's like, could this be a better movie than Logan?
He's a fellow DC lover.
He's a fellow,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy, does he love DC.
Yeah.
But he also loved Logan,
mm-hmm.
and so he's asking, like, because it got a better score than Logan, he's like, is it possible that it's better than Logan? And we both started talking, and we both agreed, well, you know, it's kind of apples and oranges. They're both superhero films. They both are linked to Marvel, but it's like you said, it's a sci-fi comedy versus a gritty drama.
Right.
And it's just like Toy Story 3 and Godfather have the same score.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
It doesn't mean that they're similar.
Right.
It doesn't mean that one is better than, well, God, it's Godfather, but you know what I'm trying to say. It's
yes.
apples and oranges.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But go see it. Hopefully you haven't listened.
Yeah, hopefully you haven't listened.
But
to this.
If you did, whatever. But yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. All right. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in. Please go to thenerdparty.com for everything that you need. Like to find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of our back catalog episodes and all of our other shows, excluding Arrested Development, go to thenerdparty.com. And if you want to talk to us, you want to send us an email, go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu. And send us a note. Let us know what you thought of Thor 3 or Thor Ragnarok, not
That's
Thor
right.
3. and please, if you like what we do, go to iTunes, give us a review. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show.
I love you.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you've come for. It's main event time.
Oh, I've missed this. I'm putting together a team.
This team of yours, has it got a name?
It's called the Revengers.
Revengers?
I mean, we don't have to have a name. We could have no name.